Bow your heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the opportunity you've given us to be able to gather here this morning and to be able to worship you, Lord. And Father, we also want to thank you for sending your Son to die for us, Father, so that we could live. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago, there was a TV show, I don't know how many of you remember, it was called Kojak. And it starred Telly Savalas. He was a lollipop-sucking detective who always went around saying, "Who loves you, baby?" That was one of his famous sayings. It was a show, I think, back in the 70s or may even been sooner than that. I think there is one thing that all humans need almost more than anything else, and that is to know that we are loved. Without love, we feel worthless and unimportant and useless. And humans need to feel useful and worthwhile. That's one reason we always tend to compare ourselves with other people. Sometimes we consider ourselves better than them, and sometimes we wish we were as good as they are. We base our importance on four different things. Number one being our appearance. We often ask ourselves, "Do I look good enough?" The second is our achievements. Have I done enough? Third is our being approved by others. What will others think of me? And four is our wealth or our power. Am I important enough or powerful enough? And every one of these areas is based primarily upon one thing, where we rate ourselves in comparison to other people. We need to feel loved, we need to be accepted, and we need to feel self-worth. The problem with these four standards is that none of them is stable. They will all change depending on moment-to-moment circumstances. Appearances change with time. As many of us know, as you get older, your appearance changes. There will always be somebody who can do more than us and do it better than we can. How well others like you can change in the blink of an eye, and your influence can change with one bad choice. You see, the trouble with letting things like these dictate your self-worth is that your self-worth will always be changing, and you will never know from moment to moment where you stand. And what do you think your self-worth will be when those things change? There was a gem dealer who was strolling through a gem and mineral show in Tucson, Arizona, when he noticed a large bluish-colored stone the size of a potato. He looked it over and asked the vendor how much he wanted for it. The man said he was trying to get $15 for it, but since it wasn't that pretty, he'd let it go for $10. The stone has since been certified as a 1905-carat natural star sapphire. It is larger than any stone of its kind, and it is appraised at $2.28 million. It took a lover of stones to recognize the sapphire's worth, and it took the lover of souls to recognize the true value of people like you and me. If you want to build your self-image, build it on something that will last. Build it on what God thinks of you, and not what the world thinks of you. When we understand what God thinks of us, it changes the way we see ourselves, and it starts changing our hearts to be more Christ-like. There's a very good example of that in the New Testament. It involves a man named Zacchaeus, and we're going to be talking about him this morning. Zacchaeus was a man who lived in the city of Jericho. And one day, Jesus came to Jericho, and Zacchaeus had an encounter with Jesus that changed his life forever. Luke 19:1-4 tells us about that encounter. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was one of the most influential Jews in the Roman tax collecting business, and he had become very rich. He had tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowds, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree beside the end of the road so that he could watch from there. Zacchaeus was hoping to see this Jesus, the man that everyone was talking about. He didn't know this, but he needed Jesus in the worst of ways. If there ever was a man who needed a stronger sense of self-worth, it was Zacchaeus, because in four of the ways we evaluate ourselves, he struck out in the first three. His appearance was not the most beautiful to look at because of his very short stature. The only real achievements he ever had was overcharging people and cheating them for his own financial gain. And his approval rating was in the sewer because he collected taxes from the Jews and gave them to the Roman government. But he was very wealthy. First of all, to become a tax collector, you had to bribe an official. And secondly, Rome told you how much to collect, and if you were able to collect more, you could keep the extra. It's kind of similar to what it seems like the IRS does to us today. Zacchaeus was pretty good at gouging his fellow Jews, so he ended up being quite wealthy. For a Jewish man to become a Roman tax collector was unthinkable. This was high treason. It would be like going over to Iraq and joining the terrorists who we've been fighting against. You would be hated for being a traitor. If you become a Roman tax collector as a Jew, it meant three things. Your family would disown you, you would never be allowed to worship in the synagogue, and you'd be looked at as bad as a murderer. As a result, Zacchaeus was miserable on the inside. And how do I know that? It's very simple. Because you can't have a guilty conscience and feel good about yourself at the same time. He knew that he was ripping people off, and that would have caused him to lose most of his self-respect over a period of time. What we have here is a guy who has lots of money, but he doesn't like himself. But one day, a brief encounter with Jesus changed his life. And why? It was because he learned that he mattered to God. Friends, if you're feeling a little down or a little empty today, you came to the right place because this is a place of hope. This is a place of Jesus Christ, and this is the place that God wants us to be right now in His house. How do we know we can have hope even when things are going wrong? It's because we know that we matter to God. The story about Zacchaeus illustrates three truths. If you will remember these three, you will never again have problems with how you feel about your self-worth. Number one is Jesus notices you. No matter how badly I feel when nobody else seems to notice me, I know that Jesus Christ notices me. Zacchaeus wanted to get a glimpse of Jesus, but he was too short. He couldn't see above the crowd, so Zacchaeus did two things that no wealthy Middle Eastern man would do. He ran through a crowd, and he climbed a tree. These were things that little boys might do in crowds, but not well-known businessmen. That was shocking, but what Jesus did next was even more shocking. Jesus walks straight through the city, past thousands of people, and walks right up to the tree where Zacchaeus was and stops. Notice what happens. Luke 19:5 says, "When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name." "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. For I must be a guest in your home today." So why do you think Jesus did that? I think it was because Jesus knew Zacchaeus' heart, just like he knows our hearts today. You might be up a tree today, or even out on a limb, and you may think that God has forgotten you, but in reality, there's never been a time when God has ever taken his eyes off of you. He's seen every breath you've ever taken. He's felt every thought that you've ever had. And he's seen everything you've ever done. God has always had his loving eyes upon your life because God really does care about you. We have a hard time imagining God paying that much attention to us because we really don't pay that much attention to him. We may not be looking toward God every second of the day, but he sure is looking at us every second of the day. You might feel that others think you are worthless, but you matter so much to him that he let his son die for us. In Luke 12:7, Jesus said, "And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to him than a whole flock of sparrows." Just imagine, God thinks we're so valuable to him that he knows the number of the hairs on our head. And of course, with some of us, that would not be that difficult. Not that many left. Now, do you know what the deepest expression of love is? It's attention. When you give somebody your attention, you're giving them your love. When you don't pay attention to your husband or wife or kids, you're actually being unloving. God is always paying attention to us. It may not seem like it, because we really are not all that focused on him, but again, he is always focused on us. When little children do something that they want to be recognized for, such as riding a bike with no hands, what's the first thing they do? They holler, "Mommy, Daddy, look, no hands." Adults want to be noticed too. You know, and it's just like children. We yell out, but we don't necessarily do it with words. We act in such a way as to get other people's attention, or we dress with the goal of capturing other people's attention. But what we are really doing is yelling, "Please watch me, somebody." For our own well-being, it's vital that we remember to stop depending on other people to feel worthy and start depending on God. Number two is Jesus lifts you up. All of his life, Zacchaeus had been ridiculed and rejected. We know that because the word in Luke for short actually means a child's body that is not fully grown. And it would be safe to assume that he was a target of ridicule all of his life. And this may have something to do with the fact that he was corrupt and didn't care if he collected from the Jews and gave it to the Romans. Jesus looked up at Zacchaeus in front of this huge crowd and called him by name, which shocked everybody because Jesus knew the name of the biggest scoundrel in town. But in spite of Zacchaeus' sin, Jesus lifts him up while everybody else is putting him down. In Ephesians 2:10, we find out that we are God's masterpiece, God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now, there are two types of artwork. There are prints and there are mass-produced on a large scale, all being identical, and there are masterpieces where it may have taken months for an artist to complete. We are not mass-produced by God to be just like other people. By his own word, we are masterpieces made unique and made for God's purposes. I've heard people say that God loves us so much that if he had a wallet, he would carry our picture in it. Isaiah 49:16, God says, "See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands." When Jesus Christ looks at the scars on his hands, he sees your hand. God doesn't need to carry our pictures because he has each one of our names written in the scars of his hands. There are people who have had some very bad things said to them and done to them over the years. They have been told that they are not worth anything, or that they are stupid, or ugly, or all sorts of unkind things. And as much as they hurt us, we keep carrying them around. We need to get rid of these things so that we can live and focus on God rather than to keep living and focusing on our past hurts. The only way you can get over these three things is by realizing that you are so special to Jesus that he makes you a joint heir to the kingdom of God with him. Where we say, "I can't see my value because of all that has happened to me," God says, "I can see your value in spite of all that has happened to you." When this world trips you up, it's Jesus that lifts you up. Number three is Jesus wants you. I think the hardest thing for us to understand is no matter what we've ever done in our lives, God still wants to have a personal relationship with us because he loves us. People made Zacchaeus feel their hatred because he was a cheat and they hated him. So Jesus Christ did something. He didn't just walk up to the tree and look up and notice him. And he didn't just call him by name and affirm him in front of those who hated him. He invited himself to Zacchaeus' home for dinner. In verse 7 it says, "But the crowds were displeased. They said, 'He has gone to be a guest of the notorious sinner,' they grumbled." The truth is, we're all a lot like Zacchaeus was. We have all done things that have hurt others. But Jesus is far more interested in changing us than he is in condemning us. So he looks at you and he says, "I know you. I love you and I want you. In spite of all that you have done, and I want you to love me and to have a relationship with me." You all remember the story about the prodigal son, a father who has two boys, and the one boy who is so impatient that he tells his father that he wants his inheritance now instead of waiting for his money after his father has died. His father gives it to him, and he goes to the bar scene in the city and invests his money in wine, women, and song. He ends up dirt broke, on the street, and all tapped out. He ends up having to feed pigs in a pigsty. He finally wakes up and goes home. He plans on telling his dad that he is unworthy to be his son and plans on begging his dad for a job to be a servant. The boy has a very bad self-image, doesn't he? He thinks he is not worth anything. But what does his father do? His father sees him coming down the road, and he runs straight to meet his son, giving him a hug. He did not lecture him. He didn't tell him how bad or how stupid he was. He told him how loved he was. Some people think that if they go to Christ with all the dirt in their lives, Jesus will either lecture them or downright deny them. And the devil likes people to think that. There's a story that says God and the devil were talking, and God told the devil that he was going to take some things away from him. God said that he was going to take sickness, poverty, and many other things away from the devil, and the devil said, no problem. Then finally, God said he was going to take discouragement away from the devil, and the devil came unglued. The devil told God that the very best weapon he had was when everything else fails, all he had to do was throw a little discouragement in front of somebody and they would fall for it and lose focus of the truth. The devil uses that discouragement in our lives to keep us from having a healthy and loving relationship with Jesus. And the sad part is, we often seem to fall for it. No matter what has ever happened in your life, and no matter how badly you've ever been hurt or how badly you've hurt others, Jesus wants to love you and to have you love him. If I held up a $50 bill and asked who wanted it, how many of you would say I do? Okay, now if I crumbled this $50 bill up, threw it on the ground and stepped on it, got it all dirty and nasty, and wrinkled it, how many of you would still want the 50? Raise your hands. See, no matter what it has gone through, it has not lost its original value. That's a rather loose comparison, but you see what I mean. No matter what you've gone through before today, God still loves you and he still wants you because he knows that you have not lost your original value to him. Jesus says, those the Father has given me will come to me and I will never, ever reject them. God notices everything in your life. His eyes of love are constantly watching you. And he knows your value no matter what anyone else around you says about you. He knows the truth about you and your life. God has a plan and a purpose for our life. He made you and he wants you despite the fact that you've rejected him in the past. How should you respond to that kind of God? I think we should respond to him the same way as Zacchaeus did. Verse 6 says, Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house with great excitement and joy. The God that offers us so much love and eternal happiness, I think we should react in the same way Zacchaeus did with great excitement and joy. I cannot comprehend why anyone would refuse God when he's standing right there with his arms wide open. Zacchaeus took Jesus up on his offer for a relationship, and he was going to give all the money that he'd ever overcharged back to the people. That was the first way that he started showing the love that he received from Christ Jesus to others. And it is the love that we receive through Jesus that makes up for all the hurts that we have received from others. You see, Jesus knows you have been terribly hurt in the past. He knows that hurt is still with us even today. And he wants you to know that he loves you enough to take that hurt away. He loves you enough to set you free from it. There was a story of a little girl, his mother was going to take her shopping. The father couldn't go, so he gave his daughter $5 to buy whatever she wanted in one of the stores. She saw a necklace, and it looked like pearls, so she bought it. For the next week, she wore those pearls everywhere, even when she took a bath. And she would tell everyone it was a necklace her daddy bought her because he loved her. After that first week, her daddy would come home and tuck her in bed every night. He would tell her that he loved her, and she would tell him that she loved him. Then he would ask her if she would give him that necklace. Each night, she would say no. This went on for several nights, and then one night, as he told her he loved her, she said she loved him too. But this time, when he asked her if he could have the necklace, she said, I love that necklace, Daddy, but I love you more, and she gave him the necklace. Then the father reached into his shirt pocket and brought out a little box and gave it to her. When she opened it, she found a real pearl necklace. He had wanted to give her that gift, but had to wait until she loved and trusted him enough to give him the fake necklace. God is like that. When we give him all the focus we have been giving to this world, he will give us something of greater value in return. When we love him enough to give him all the hurts we have bundled up inside of our hearts, he will replace it with uplifting and grace-filled love. The love that soothes our souls. Do you love him enough to give him all your hurts and disappointments? And do you trust him enough to open up your hearts to him this morning? You bow your heads with me for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, how we want to surrender ourselves completely to you, Father, and never take focus off of what's the most important thing in our lives, Lord, and that is you. It's so easy to get distracted of things of this world and to worry about what others think of us and what we even think of ourselves, Lord. Please let us surrender that to you. And you know, Lord, how we want to thank you for sending your son to die for us and for the opportunity that we're going to have, Lord, to live and rejoice with you forever in the kingdom of heaven when you soon return. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you give us each and every day. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.